Like I was saying earlier, I really appreciate having the combined 50 years of military experience together with Joe Kent and Anthony Aguilar, two amazing, distinguished gentlemen now here in the field talking about what's going on to the American people, letting them know. I want to let people in the audience know again, the best thing to do in this fight, the information war, the info war, if you will, is to share a live link, retweet, repost, whatever you're going to do. That's how we win this game. And I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com if you're interested in supporting this broadcast and the other hosts on the network as well, so we can continue to move forward with the phenomenal crew that we have and do the phenomenal things that we have been doing. I just want to remind everybody at home, because, you know, we kind of got a gaslighter in chief right now. I want to remind all of y'all that we did not vote for any of this, okay? We voted for no new wars. We voted for no new neocon wars in the Middle East. We voted for the peace president. Did we receive any of those things? No. We received new war, new inflation, new debt. That is a complete antithesis of the 2024 campaign. And the 2024 campaign was successful because of the values that Trump ran on. Not because he wore the red tie or danced to the YMCA or did whatever. Not because he played unk or was cool. We believed in Trump because we believed in the mission. We believed in the objective, and we believed in achieving that and draining the swamp. We have become the swamp 10 times over, 100 times over. We let another country take us to war. I'm going to say it again. We let another nation decide when Americans would die. Clip that. Send that to your neocon friend, you know, who thinks that the war is funny, thinks that it's cool. I'll tell you what war is, even though I haven't seen it directly. I've just seen it on the phone every day with the dead kids in Gaza. War is a dead body. That's what war is. So when Lindsey Graham and Mark Levin and all of these types are doing the tap dance and dancing a little jig and doing whatnot, they're doing that on top of a cemetery. They're doing that on top of the tombs of innocent civilians. And they'll continue to do that until the American people rise up and say, enough is enough. We do not want lovers of murder, lovers of genocide, lovers of war crimes involved in our government or in our media. Joe Kent, Anthony Aguilar, I really appreciate having y'all with me here today. Anthony, I want to get your opinion on this. It's something I'm going to ask Joe as well. It regards October 7th. We've got 2 minutes left in this segment. What are your thoughts on that event before I play a clip?
You want, I'll let you
know. What are your thoughts on October 7th and the subsequent war in Gaza?
I'll tell you about my thoughts on October 7th, having been there. Sure. I have serious concerns about the narrative and the story that we have been told. Because sure. When I entered Israel, before we went into Gaza, we were taken on a hospital tour of Kibbutz Bieli, the kibbutz just outside of Gate 96. We were taken to the Nova Festival film site. And the things that I saw did not comport with the story of these attacks.
I've got a dead man named Charlie Kirk who agrees with you. That's my whole reason in bringing that up. Charlie Kirk on PBD podcast questioned it and said, hey, I've been there. You can't go to the border and not run into, you know, an 18-year-old with a weapon or a machine gun. You can't run into somebody that's not surveilling that border. It's the most surveilled border on Earth. So how in a place where you have a helicopter base 10 minutes away, how does an event go on for 8 hours where thousands of your own people are brutally slaughtered by Hamas? How does that happen?
Well, also with you know, the unmistakable pattern of Apache gunship 30-millimeter cannon fire into the homes.
The Hannibal Directive.
Hamas doesn't have Apaches.
The Hannibal Directive. Yes, they kill their own.
Nova Film Festival with the burned out hulks of cars with the telltale sign of a Hellfire missile that's been put through the car. Hamas doesn't have Hellfire missiles. So when you look at all those things, the story that we've been told does not match what is on the ground. When you see it with your own eyes, it doesn't match.
These are tough questions to ask, but somebody's got to ask him, and that's going to be me. We're going to roll the Charlie Kirk clip coming into the break because, hey, this isn't a crazy thing to ask. Charlie Kirk asked it. Charlie Kirk had the ear of the president. Now he's gone. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? You know, all the powerful anti-war voices being silenced, being kicked out, being kind of shoved aside, given the mushroom treatment. As Larry Johnson would call it, you know, you put them in the dark, you cover them with manure. It's time to leave all that behind and pursue the truth. I'll be right back on The War Room with Joe Kent and Anthony Aguilar.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is Rocket Fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. Stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Is that burning your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DalekShowShore.com.
And if we go dark, I'll put all those things out there.
Yeah.
How did these guys not know this was taking place?
So I've been to Israel many times. The whole country's a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still had the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that is an IDF soldier. Right? The whole country is surveilled. And so let me just kind of go through this. We don't talk about Israeli politics very often, and most Americans don't know this. The last 9 months, Israel was on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu was basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not willing to say, to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here, but I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand down order? Whew. Was there a stand down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's the size of New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes.
Wow.
6 hours. They're live streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand down? That is a legitimate non-conspiracy question. The whole country is the IDF.
And if you go dark, country,
I got an issue with the audio in my ear where I'm getting it played double again. Okay, now it's gone. Joe Kent, what do you have to say to a man who now doesn't have a voice, Charlie Kirk, with his questions about October 7th?
Like Charlie himself would say, never stop asking questions. So that's the fundamental question. I think anytime our government or other governments put out a narrative, especially a narrative that takes us into war, it's our responsibility to question that. And I say that as obviously just like Anthony, somebody who spent most of our adult lives in these conflicts. So I would appreciate every citizen asking the questions. Charlie asked all the logical questions. Anyone who's looked at Israel on a map or been there,
right,
would come to those conclusions and at least ask those questions. And especially considering the fact that this did save the current Likud government,
yes,
and everything that's transpired since. If I were an Israeli right now, considering the damage that's being done to Israel in terms of this war that's being sold as like something they need. I know right now the war is very popular, but considering the direction this is all heading and the ramifications this is going to have on our relationship with Israel, which is key to Israel's survival, the juice is not going to be worth the squeeze at the end of the day for the Israelis. So at some point, whenever the music stops, they're going to have to go back and they're going to have to ask their government these questions. So, I mean, I can't say it better than Charlie did.
Right. And it's just reality of warfare. If you go throughout centuries and millennia that, you know, governments will do, you know, green flag style operations like this. This isn't a crazy thing to say. Right. Every angle's got to be looked at and considered. And like Anthony was saying, you've got all these weapons used that Hamas doesn't have access to. It kind of reminds me of when we say, you know, we didn't blow up the school. And if we blew up the school, we didn't do it. And if Iran did it, they somehow had a missile that only four other countries have, including it's France, Japan, UK, and one other that have access to the Tomahawk. Iran doesn't have it, but they say, you know, they bombed their own school. I think Trump, his exact words were they're very imprecise with their munitions. What do you think, Anthony, in regards to that?
Yeah, well, the other thing is that even if somehow Iran had a Tomahawk, you still have to figure out how to launch it. You don't just throw that thing into the air like a paper airplane.
Right.
So again, a capability they do not have.
Right.
But that, I think that's been a story that's been put to bed. But what Charlie Kirk asked in that segment, which he did quite frequently, was ask, you know, what because he premised it with, I was there, I saw it. And to his point, same as my point, is that the story you hear and what you see with your own eyes doesn't match.
Right.
Gate 96, the gate that was allegedly breached or that was breached on October 7th. That is the gate that we cross through every day going in and out of Gaza. And it's easier to get onto Fort Bragg.
Right.
That gate is a fortress. And that wasn't after October 7th. That's always the way it's been. So if Hamas breached that gate under those conditions, there's no way they would have been able to infiltrate for as far and as long without being stopped under normal conditions. So
sure.
What's important is that I'm not jumping to a conclusion in terms of there was a stand down order or this or that, but I'm certainly putting out there that there might have been, because reality does not match the narrative.
Right.
And that's the same thing we have to ask with this war in Iran. It's the same thing we have to ask in other conflicts of things that we are told and then what we see with our own eyes. And when those two do not compute, the logical, smart person then asks, why not?
Right. No, 100%. And when you refuse to give people information, and when they say, hey, like, I want to know more about why we're doing this, we say, hey, you're a Democrat. If you question me, you're this or other. You question me, you go, hey, you know, you called me racist and a Nazi, and now you're calling me a Democrat. These are just words, these labels, they mean nothing. I'm anti-war. And they go, well, that means you're a liberal. That means that you're this, that, other thing. No, I'm an American. Right. And we're all Americans and we're all against what's been going on over there. We all know it's been excessive, not just at the point of October 7th, but before. For decades, people have been getting obliterated in the Gaza Strip and nothing has been done. No other government across the world. And if they do, like a North Korea or like a China, for example, it gets talked about, like the Uyghur genocide and all of that as well. No other nation gets to operate this way with Western backing, with Western dollars. Our money goes to what, in my opinion, amounts to murder, right? And it's gone to that for a very long time. What do you think Americans need to know about the financial impact of, like, hey, your taxes are going towards this? Like, what weapons are being used to, harm civilian populations? What weapons are being used to surveil populations? Of course, Mosaic has been very big in Palestine and Gaza. They've been track and tracing people. Of course, everybody knows that's coming home. That's coming home to us, too. They're just the guinea pigs or test subjects. What do you know about what's being used on these people, Anthony?
Well, while we were there in Gaza, part of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, again, supposed to be providing and delivering humanitarian aid, and what we were tasked to do and what we had, it was there's this device. It's a tactical biometric enrollment device. It's called the Seek Crossmatch. It's about the size of a shoebox. Joe's very familiar with these from our days in ODAs on the ground, you know. And you would do it to biometrically scan and collect information on an individual, handprint, fingerprints, iris scan, picture, and then this goes into a database. Well, that database was then being put together, so to speak, by the IDF, the Coordinating Office of the Governance of the Activities in the Territories. It's called COGAT. And then that information was then being used to build these pattern of life on military aged males that were coming to these aid sites, not armed, not displaying any type of intent, but simply coming to these aid sites. And if you think about it, the majority of people that could make the journey of 8 to 10 kilometers one way in the heat, often barefoot, through a combat zone to get food, were often the able, fit-bodied males of a family, and they were getting all biometrically enrolled. And it was almost, you could set your watch to the sound and the reverberation of the explosions every night to when we would complete an operation. We would come back from aid delivery. They would download all of the biometrics, and within hours, strikes within the same vicinity of areas right outside of these distribution sites, whether that was Tal al-Sultan, Rafah, Mowasi, and the humanitarian aid operation always corresponded in time and space to a military operation. And it's no doubt to me that the GHF was acting as an intelligence operation through the collection of biometrics through a forced distribution model of food, starve or die or come get food, and then it being used for F3EAD, or the targeting process, find, fix, finish.
Right. And we're talking about thousands of people slaughtered. We're talking about tens of thousands wounded coming to these things. You've taken some of the most harrowing video I've ever seen. It's like World War Z type footage of people running, or 28 days later. And you're just like, what has to happen to an area to reduce a population of humanity to that base state? You know, where they're just running, scrabbling for food. And then we sit over here fat and happy in America. We say, oh, we'll pay for more of it. We'll pay for more of it. That's disgusting. And I think everyone at home can understand that. I want to read you something, Joe, and this comes from the timesofisrael.com. Okay, so this is them saying it. I'm going to read you this. Israel must retain freedom to strike Iran to stop nuclear program. Always, Iran must not ever have nuclear weapon. That's the magic spell, says Defense Minister Katz amid talk of imminent U.S.-Iran deal. As U.S. President DJT predicts that a memorandum of understanding will be signed with Iran in the coming days, Defense Minister Israel Katz hints that Jerusalem will have to use military force in the future to stop Iran from attaining nuclear weapons. I thought we were in charge. Hold on, I'll read this. This is the quote. Israel must ensure that in the future as well, we retain the ability to act independently to prevent Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons. So basically, this is another quote from him. Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu and I have instructed the IDF to prepare accordingly. We pay for the whole military. They use our tech. They're using our missiles to defend them. The CNN number, which I view as conservative and not accurate, I go with Larry Johnson's figure, over 90%. We've used over 55% of all of our missile interceptors to defend these people in the conflicts that they start, that we get involved in. Joe, do they have the ability to really just say, hey, we're going to do whatever we want, and we don't care about your peace deal?
Well, they have the ability to say that, but what they're implying is that we will continue to fund them. We will give them the capability to reach into Iran and strike. Because look, the Israelis are very competent. They have a great intelligence service. They can do strikes inside Lebanon, Syria. They're good at these little targeted assassinations. But to do major military operations in a place that's as far away from them as Iran is, they really need our support. So when they're saying that under the current construct, they're saying like, yeah, we'll do it, wink, wink, nod, nod, but you guys are going to do all the logistics and you're going to continue to pay for it. What I would say basically is like, hey, Israel, if that is your standard and you guys want to have the ability to go ahead and strike inside Iran, you're going to do it on your own. Like, I'm not going to sit here and play, you know, the cop of Israel and tell them what they can and can't do. But as long as we're paying for all of it, we should have the ability.
Well,
otherwise,
us.
It's not worth the investment. So if we pull away all of the aid that we're giving them and we don't let them get, you know, intertwined into our research and development of our Department of Defense, then, you know, have at it, guys. You want to go to war with the Persians? Go for it. We're not going to be involved in it anymore. But as long as you're taking money from us, you are the junior partner. But unfortunately, as we know, that's just not the case right now. And so we've got to reset this relationship. Otherwise, they're going to keep being able to suck us back into these conflicts.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you're making us pay for it. So you're damn right we're involved and we want it to stop. Like, and that's what it comes down to when you say just declare victory and go home. I'm saying that on all fronts. You know, hey, you're going to do these things. You're going to pick these fights. It's like having a little brother, you know, that goes and gets in a fight and he brings you and you gotta go fight, you know, a 6'1" dude that weighs 200 pounds because, you know, your little 14-year-old brother said something to him. I think not. I don't think that's our family. I don't think that's crucial to our nation. I don't think our nation was founded on, you know, the Zionist values of Mark Levin. I reject that entirely. I think the vast majority of Americans do. Whatever your ethnicity, whatever your race, whatever your gender, whatever your sexuality, we are united on the basis of being American. And that's what it means to put America first, to be America first. When you go, hey, there's this other country over here and they're having a hard time. We got to give them all our money, all our military, all our resources forever and ever and ever. That's not America first. That's America second, third, fourth, fifth. You can just go down the list. All these countries have foreign influence, but Israel, bar none, is right now the king Mac Daddy of everything that's been going on. And because of the brutality and grotesqueness of what's gone on, things are being brought to the public eye that we hadn't considered, like how we've been funding this for decades and decades and decades. Is there a way out of the Middle East? Could we pick up our bases? Could we go? Is there a future where that happens? What is your opinion, Joe? Then I'll get Anthony's response to that question.
I mean, the short answer is yes, and we need to. Look, our bases in this last iteration of the conflict prove what a lot of us have been saying for a very long time, that our bases are not a strategic asset, they're a liability. And unfortunately, tragically, the Iranians proved that by being able to reach out and strike our bases at any given time. So I think for us to adapt to modern warfare, we should say, hey, our basing and the way that we deploy force, that has to change. It has to be much more clandestine. It has to be much more agile and mobile. So the basing construct, the juice just isn't worth the squeeze on it. If the president were to say, hey, I'm going to be the commander in chief that actually updates the way that we approach this region and actually has us leave, which basically is what President Trump ran on in, yes, you know, going back to 2015, 2016, he could just say, look, I'm promises made, promises kept. I'm going to do it. And this is going to be a better security arrangement for us. I think it has to happen, because if we continue to deploy forces over there as if we're fighting the global war on terror still, and we need to have this posture towards Iran, we will never leave. We will continue to get sucked into this never-ending quicksand that is the Middle East. So again, I mean, President Trump could do it. Again, I go back to kind of square one. Why is he not doing it? That is what, yes, I truly don't understand. And I think that's the question that we need to continue to ask as American citizens.
Well, we need somebody that is actually going to do what they say that they're going to do. And I think the best way to look at that is prior track record and experience. And you can look at Trump and say, he's an outsider, he's a businessman, but ultimately he gets in there, he becomes a politician. I think that's the reality of what we're seeing today. Anthony, what are your thoughts on what Joe just said?
Well said, Joe. And I concur that the should we? Yes. And can this president? Yes. And the question is then, why not? You know, I recall in Syria in 2018, when the notorious tweet from President Trump came out, we're leaving Syria. And all of us that were there were like, is that an order? I guess when the president tweets, that's an order. And we all had to scramble to get out of Syria and reduce that force structure. And did we put a plan together? Did we withdraw under pressure? Did we reduce our footprint? We did. And then the answer was not, we're just going to let it go. We had a tailored force structure. And then we still kept things what we call over the horizon or OTH capability, to where if there is a threat, you can respond. You're not acquiescing and just letting go and saying it's not our problem anymore. But you're doing it in a more responsible way, to where you still have the effect without the vulnerability. And what Joe said is spot on, and people need to hear that, is that in asymmetric warfare, asymmetric threats, as we face in the region now more so than ever, to have a physical base in the region is more of a liability than it is an asset. And Absolutely. Now is the time that we should be doing that. Can it be done? It can. Should it be done? It should. And the quintessential question then becomes, why not?
Yes, and the cost of all this is truly mind-boggling. Y'all, see if y'all can get the debt clock up real quick. It's almost going to tick over to $110 billion. I looked at it this morning. It was at $109. That doesn't even take into account the radars that have been destroyed, billions of dollars, the missile interceptors that have been used, billions of dollars, the bases that have been blown up, billions of dollars. It's a catastrophe that we can't even begin to quantify. The sad thing about all this is one day we're going to know. We're going to know, our children are going to know, our grandchildren are going to know about this, because we're going to have to suffer through the Great Depression that this creates. This is not sustainable. And $10 trillion of that money for that U.S. national debt figure you see right there, $10 trillion of that money went to war since 1991. So are we going to put a stop to that? Are we going to be serious about saying, hey, we're the greatest country in the world, not because of our might and our power and how hard we can punch you thousands of miles away. We're the greatest country in the world because we invented the plane. We invented the computer. We invented the car. We invented everything, basically, using the modern world and modern parlance. Today, we're Americans, and we're Americans first over everything else. We want American exceptionalism and American excellence to mean what we do at home, not what we do overseas. What do y'all think about that? What's your message to Americans today? Let me go to Anthony first and then Joe Ken as we close out.
That counter you just showed is scary, and it's the mathematical and reality of insolvency. Look at the national debt, greater than our treasury reserve. And if you look at the restitution per taxpayer and the amount that we actually owe, not just on the debt, but on our interest, we Yes. don't bring enough in to even pay the interest. So not only are we insolvent, we're now using the credit card to pay off the personal loan, to pay off the bookie from a bad bet that we made.
Disturbing.
That doesn't work. But what's more important about this particular war is that, sitting on the Hill, a lot of people are shocked about the bottom line, or the top line, I should say, of the NDAA, $1.55 trillion with a T. But then what hasn't happened yet is that once this goes from committee and it goes to being passed into the budget, we still have to reconcile this war, because this war was not a foreseen cost. It is an unforeseen cost. So this war and its cost, where it came from, because remember, we talk about power of the purse. Congress never certified or approved of this conflict. So where does that money come from? So going into next year's budget, that almost $500 billion to date, just as of now, has to be reconciled, which is going to take that into $2 trillion. And those numbers that you just showed, the disparity of what we have and what we're losing and what we don't have, is only going to get worse.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Joe, with 3 minutes remaining on the clock, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's all kinds of reasons right now to be black-pilled, and it seems like we can't get our way out of this war in Iran. The debt, all those things are very, very real. But what I would say is that the corruption and the unsustainability of this system is being exposed. It's being exposed because it's hard to hide in this information environment. So the more light that we can shine on this, the more we can get people politically active. Just think, a couple years ago, it would have been inconceivable to say that we are looking at cutting foreign aid to Israel. Now, obviously, the Israelis are trying to maneuver. We just talked about the NDAA, what's taking place there. But if we can keep shining a light on all the ways that our country is really just being sold out from underneath us, I think with the rising tide of younger voters, with the baby boomers kind of phasing out, and even some of the baby boomers like kind of waking up, I do think that we can change the tide. 2028 is right around the corner. And I think we can make this issue, the issue of war and peace, the issue of foreign influence, I think we can bring that front and center in both the Republican and the Democrat primaries with getting enough younger voters mobilized to make sure we actually get our sovereignty back. So that's what I would say. Call your representatives, call your senators, tell them that you know all about Section 224, you know what's going on with the NDAA, and you simply won't support it, and stay active in the information fight and stay active in the political sphere. It's not hopeless. There's a lot of people that black pill, especially in the post-Trump era. But I think we actually have a lot going in our favor in this new environment.
Yes, the propaganda wouldn't be necessary if the situation were hopeless, as they say. And that's the reality of what we're dealing with right now, guys. It's up to you, the guy or girl or whoever watching this right now. Share this video with your friends. Share this report. Share live feed and transmission. Everyone needs to know, because if everybody knows, then no one will accept it. Right? Like nobody's going to say, hey, I want to give, you know, infinite foreign aid to this country and let them take over our military. No, we don't want any more wars. It's what we all voted for. And you made the excellent point, Joe, of 2016 being a referendum on the Iraq war. That's what people have voted against for a decade straight, solid anti-war policy. If there are people like you, Joe Kent, if there's people like you and Anthony Aguilar out there speaking truth to power, doing these things, potentially, I hope, running for office, I think we can do something about all of the corruption and chaos we're seeing in our government and military right now. I'm just like a caveman out in the woods and it's raining and I'm trying to like smash flint and steel together, trying to get a spark. I think we can have that ignition and really save our country, save our society. Thank you so much for being here with me today. Really appreciate both of y'all's time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
Badass. Thank you so much. Another phenomenal interview. The biggest guest, the biggest platform. You want to be on AJN. You want to follow us on Twitter. You want to follow us on Rumble. Follow live live links, share live feeds to everybody you know. Everyone needs to know about the Joe Kent, Anthony Aguilar panel on Section 224 and the U.S.-Israeli Empire. It's critical information. Share those live links and live feeds now. Everybody's got to know. And everybody's got to say, we ain't taking this no more. So it's up to you to make the decision to wake other people up. I'm Rex Jones, doing my best to do that same thing.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and We have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy, the spirit of resistance and victory, and they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the Spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Morning, 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 morning.
It's always an honor to get to guest host, or I guess I should just say host, the War Room. I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to have Harrison back here Monday, because this week has kicked my butt. This week has fried me. I've been broadcasting live for 6 hours a day the past 3 days, and I gotta say, it's really made me better. It's really made me appreciate what we do, and having the crew here, the phenomenal crew that puts these edits, these broadcasts, everything together and makes it all gel. I just want to say shout out to the crew. Thank you for being there for me throughout the course of my entire life. Basically from the age of 7, 8, I've known a lot of you guys, and just back there in the control room, big heart. And to the audience as well, the same type of thing. I really appreciate you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching that interview and sharing it with your friends and family. And thank you for watching me all these years on the former network and now the new one. I've got breaking news. Now, color me surprised. You know, sky is blue, water is wet. Paramount WBD merger wins approval from the DOJ. That's Paramount Skydance CEO David Ellison. He has won the merger between Paramount and Warner Bros. The Justice Department says this: The division has completed its analysis of the proposed merger of Paramount and Warner Bros. And has determined, based on the evidence received in its investigation, that the transaction is not likely to result in harm to competition or American consumers. So another monopoly's been created, you know, just like the defense industrial complex, just like the healthcare industrial complex. You know, now you got the media industrial complex. And the key thing to remember is, like, all these shows and TV and the new movies that come out, they're a lot of them are pretty good and they're really entertaining. And I know that we're all, a lot of us, I know I am, subscribed to a lot of these services. These people are the people running everything, okay? Everything is choreographed down to a script. This is what they're going to give you. This is what you're going to be raised on. And then in the future, as a child, people watching it from day one, they're going to be introduced to archetypes this way. They're going to be introduced to the human story this way. They're going to be introduced to the hero's journey this way. And that entire coloring of their experience, they'll be able to predict present and future events because they're going to brainwash us all with mass media. That's what all this is. Look at this. DOJ greenlights Paramount WD merger. Major assets controlled post-merger. The combined entity gives the Ellisons control over film studios, Paramount and Warner Bros., streaming Paramount Plus, HBO Max, broadcast CBS and CNN, cable networks, Nickelodeon, MTV, Comedy Central, BET, HGTV, Discovery Channels, TBS, TNT, other HBO, all these giant franchises, DC Comics, Harry Potter, Looney Tunes. You know it. That's what I'm telling you right now. So we used to live in a world where we had people like Teddy Roosevelt who did antitrust laws and wanted to break up these big monopolies. You don't hear about that anymore because the boomer class of politicians, they're all paid off, they're all making money, and they're willing to turn a blind eye. Now, do you want to live in a world where you have to shop with Chuck E. Cheese money? Do you want to live in a world where you got to work in the company store and shop at the company store and die in the company store? Do you want to live in that Bill Gates coffin apartment world where you watch, you know, the state mandated monopoly media on TV? I don't think so. And very clearly, the DOJ, the Trump administration, they're put in that position to protect us, right? That's what we voted for. We said, hey, keep us safe, protect us from spending, protect us from wars, protect us from monopoly. What do? Turn around and laugh in our face. Look at the ballroom. Look at the ballroom as an example. Let's get that up. Let's get the ballroom up. Let's get Trump talking about the ballroom. Look at that boondoggle. Private billionaires contributing to something that's going to be in the White House. You think they think they're going to have a right to show up there whenever they want? I mean, if I was a billionaire and I was paying, you know, millions to build this giant ungodly ballroom, I would probably do the same thing. It is not representative government. It is not you and me building the ballroom. It is not us, you know, doing small dollar donations to build the ballroom. That is the oligarch class, the ruling class of the country. That is what they're creating for themselves. It is the new, you know, the end of the French kingdom with the French Revolution. It is the new version of that. Let them eat cake. I know it's not a real statement. I know that's falsely attributed to Marie Antoinette. But in reality, Trump says he likes the inflation. So isn't that as good as let them eat cake? And all the while, we got to build the ballroom, to build the data center under it and have the drones and have the technocracy. And can we just take a moment and realize 5 years ago we didn't know what a ChatGPT was? Can we just take 5 seconds to realize, you know, six, seven years ago, we didn't know what COVID was? Can we take a moment to realize, you know, 10, 20 years ago, we didn't know what we didn't know what all this would be, what it would all would generate and turn into. And if we'd known back then, wouldn't we have been louder then and louder now as we should be about it? I still don't hear people being loud enough. And I'm very grateful to interview people like Kenton Aguilar who talk about these things. I think it's super, super important, but it needs to be you. It can't just be Kenton Aguilar. It needs to be you guys. Like I always say, sharing the information and talking about it, knowing about it is literally half the battle. And like that is my biggest critique. And I love the listeners. I love the fans. I love all of you guys. The people out there who are negative Nellies about what we do and say, oh, you're just talking. You're just talking. I'm waking people up. I'm an alarm clock. Harrison Smith is an alarm clock. My dad is an alarm clock. Tucker Carlson is an alarm clock. Nick Fuentes is an alarm clock. Judge Knapp is an alarm clock. Dialogue Works, alarm clock. Glenn Deason, Larry Johnson, Pepe Escobar, Ray McGovern, you name it. Gerald Celente. There are infinite names I could give you. Of, you know, the highest rated, the smartest people served in multiple administrations, the old heads, the true real unks that can not play unk, be unk, that were involved in military operations, CIA, the government, all of it. They're out there right now telling you this that this is all awful and wrong and that it has to stop now. There is an alternative. The alternative is called peace, not nuclear war. And if you took someone out and you said, hey, you're going to have to make a choice, red pill or blue pill. Blue pill, nuclear war, red pill, divestment from Israel, divestment from Ukraine, divestment from Syria, all these countries. What pill do you think they're going to take? They're going to take the red pill, ladies and gentlemen. We want to nope out of here. We want to get out. We want this all to stop. And it all stops simply by us saying, hey, I got my wallet in my pocket and not in my hand, and it doesn't belong to a foreign country. It doesn't belong to you. If Americans collectively can make the connection that we cannot identify with these oligarchs, we cannot identify with these politicians, we cannot identify with these warmongers, we identify more with the people getting slaughtered, the people getting their land stolen, people getting bombed, because we know what it feels like to be wrong too. I've lost multiple friends to ODs, all right? Those people are dead, and if America was more positive and they had more mobility, they'd probably still be alive. This is a hard place to live if you're a young person. And the argument of, oh, young man, you don't understand. Back in the day, you know, we didn't have the cell phone, the internet. We had to walk. We had to walk 10 miles backwards uphill in the snow to get to school. And all this ridiculous garbage from people that paid $100 a month for rent. Rent is like $2,000 now. OK, going to college is like $250,000 of debt. What are kids supposed to do? How are you supposed to have a family? How are you supposed to have a house? How are you supposed to have all these things? You're not. They don't want you to have these things. They hate you. They want to run everything off a meter, have you rent literally every single thing that you own. You live in a 15-minute city, and then you go die, and you don't have children, so you don't exist anymore. That's the future. Should we choose to accept it? And I often say this, we deserve what we tolerate, ladies and gentlemen. We deserve what we tolerate. I want to talk about this. Speaking of deserving what we tolerate, I reference this often. If you were Trump, and there was an assassination attempt against you with Thomas Crooks and all of that, wouldn't you want the investigation to happen? We got Tucker Carlson himself claiming that a terrified Dan Bongino told him Trump shut down the Butler assassination investigation himself. Tucker Carlson claimed a terrified and hysterical Dan Bongino told him President Trump was the one who shut down the investigation into an assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania, a notion Bongino is already denying. If we can have the clip and pull that up, that would be great. I believe Tucker, because if you're the president, wouldn't you want everybody to know? Go ahead and throw to it.
I know that about Butler. I know that Trump shut down the investigation into Butler. That is a fact. Dan Bongino told me that when he worked at the FBI. And Dan Bongino himself was terrified when I spoke to him in December. It's such a long, boring story, but basically I came into possession, I beg your pardon, accidentally came into possession of a lot of the social media posts that we were told didn't exist that were posted by Thomas Crooks in the months and years before the shooting. And I was amazed that the FBI had lied about this. So I called Kash Patel, and I later called Dan Bongino, and I says, you know, what is this? I'm not attacking you. It was the previous FBI administration that did this. It was Chris Wray, but what is this? And Dan Bongino became hysterical with me on the phone. I've known Dan a long time, for many years, and always gotten along with him. You know, whatever his faults, you know, nice guy. Nice, certainly very nice to me. I never had a problem with Dan, ever. And that problem began when I brought this information to his attention, and he became a different person. He was clearly terrified. I didn't get it at first.
Pause it. So this is what Joe Kent was kind of talking about, where the attitude in Washington, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would these people cover these things up and do these things and take us to war? Like, there's got to be something deeper and darker involved, something very creepy and sinister. And I think to anybody observing the situation, like just the average American on the ground, they know something's up. And I think a big factor in all that is the cover up of the Epstein files. You know, there's a whole class of people. And Michael Tracy is kind of the ringleader. He's kind of Batman. Then Andrew Wilson's kind of his Robin. And they're going out there and kind of, Gavin McInnes too, you know, kind of denying Epstein's a pedophile, saying there's no evidence, saying whatever, whatever, whatever. Basically denying the island, denying the human trafficking, denying that our elites, you know, are doing these things with children. Now, let's look at Pam Bondi. I don't have the clip, but I know verbatim it's true, so I can just repeat it. Pam Bondi on undercover video was caught saying there are thousands of hours of tapes. Thousands of hours of tapes, and oh, it's so horrible, and oh, these things are going to come out eventually. Then she goes, oh, well, you know, those thousands of hours of tapes, that wasn't, you know, the surveillance footage of Epstein with the victims and the perpetrators, the criminals that we all want to know about. That was just a bunch of CP. That was just a bunch of child porn, okay? So to the people out there that say Epstein wasn't a PDF file or a pedophile, that Epstein didn't do these things to little children, why did he have thousands of hours of child porn? They can't answer that one. They'll do the tap dance. They'll say, well, everything's redacted. And where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Ha, ha, ha. Cheese pizza, grape soda. These things mean nothing when they're established FBI terms for hurting little kids and trafficking them as well. I want to touch on this really quick. Go ahead and play the video of the boomer versus millennial, MAGA versus mega debate, the redheaded libertarian clip. Do you believe Jeffrey Epstein was a bad dude? Because this is real disturbing stuff, guys. And, you know, I got to say, Gavin, like, I've been a fan of you, like, basically my entire life. I watched you go into tennis tournaments when I was a teenager on a Rebel Media, huge fan. Why are you a neocon boomer? Like, seriously, why do you support war and death in the Middle East? You get all mad and outraged at Owen and you chimp out over it. You know, people have died, right? You know, Americans have died over there. Are you from England originally or something? Why do all these people that are from other countries talk to us about our, I can't say the expletive. Why are they involved? Why does Sebastian Gorka, who became a citizen in 2012, why is he in our government making decisions about surveilling Americans who are speaking out? All these people, I've been in Texas, my ancestry, my lineage for 200 years. And America even longer than that, collectively, all together, in totality. I have the right to speak about these things. I am so tired of hearing people from other countries tell us what to do. Go ahead and play this clip.
And if you don't believe that, then you believe it. Epstein's a wholesome guy. I think that's not how you really do evidence, and that's not how
we're not denying that Epstein was a pedophile, right?
Well, that's not how you do that. But, you have discussions about it.
We're not denying he was a pedophile,
just said,
right?
I haven't seen evidence
of prepubescent.
You just said there's no new.
Hey, Gavin, look a little harder, bud. You know, you're a media figure. You found advice. You'd think you'd read those damn files. You know, you just laugh off the cheese pizza, the grape soda. You just laugh off the undercover tape of Bondi talking about the tapes and then saying it's CP. If it's CP, then there's evidence that he's a pedophile. Good grief. Go back to it. Good grief.
I've never seen evidence of that. They've all been post-pubescent.
So now Epstein is not a pedophile?
I don't think so, no.
Do you think he was an asset for intelligence?
There's disgusting
32
pervert.
States that have the age rich of guys were, 16 years old, by the way, Owen.
This is amazing. See, actually, this is a very pivotal moment. This is where MAGA is out.
Hold on. You don't get this.
So I say have at it. Defend Epstein. The stage is yours. The floor is yours. The floor is yours.
Do you know why you unfollowed me? Because I corrected you and wrong facts about Epstein, and you got upset.
No, actually, you unfollowed me because you tried to blackmail me.
No.
Yeah, you tried to blackmail me, Linda.
I tried to blackmail you after.
You did. Yeah, you did. You tried to blackmail me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
The timer.
Wait, are you admitting you blackmailed me?
Yeah, she did. She is.
Absolutely, I am. Owen, guess what? I corrected you one time, and I said you got the dates wrong. And what did you do? You're protecting pedophiles.
On what?
I corrected you. I don't remember the exact thing.
Take us out of it. Look who it is.
Well, I was in the control room up here working late, and you're doing a great job, Rex. By the way, I love the pinstripes, too. This is good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I love your energy. But I didn't see this clip until I got off air today, and I saw it on alexjoneslive.com. And I love Gavin McGinnis, but you're right. The talking point of Trump the last 14 months is Epstein wasn't a pedophile. He wasn't a sex criminal.
Right.
It's in the emails, literal cannibalism, sex slaves, all of it. And it's the Democrats mainly, but it's also people like Howard Lutnick.
Right.
We got to get a second mic in here. So we got the other studio. And I want to get Gavin on and debate this with him. But
yes.
This is literally the talking point now that this isn't going on. This is a sinking ship. It's wrong and it's unpopular. So when I walked in during the break, I never come and tell you what to say. You're like, I'm sorry I'm attacking Gavin. No, I love Gavin. So do you. But this new talking point is horse crap. And so I think I was like, no, I came here to say I agree with you. In fact, I saw this just like right when my show ended earlier and Stuart Rhodes was hosting. And I just watched the clip and I was dumbfounded by the clip.
Yeah.
So anyways.
No, it's super disrespectful. I mean, Trump was elected in 2024 and these people got these positions and were appointed in 2024 because they talked about the Epstein files and the public was outraged about it.
Remember, Lutnick's at the island lying about it. I don't think Trump's involved, but he's protecting people involved. The Clintons, it's all come out. The money laundering, everything.
Well,
it's worse than we thought. So just point is, it's already destroyed us in the polls. It's wrong to go along with this. And now we have a panel saying they're the real MAGA and that Epstein wasn't
I totally agree. And it's very clearly wrong. Okay. Everybody knows this is wrong. They know it's factually incorrect. It's like, I'll give this analogy. It's like you have a dead body and you put a tarp over it and the foot is sticking out. And, you know, you're a cop. You're like, hey, I'm going to arrest you. You got a dead body under there. And they go, no, no, no. You know, just that foot. Or that could be, you know, a cartoon foot. That could be a prop foot. That's not real. But you're like, I'm a cop. I smell blood. There's a dead body under there. I see the foot. No, 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 no. It's all redacted. Come on, mega chill. My mega, M-I-G-A. That's what you are if you cover up the Epstein files. That's what you are if you support the war. You're a real mega, M-I-G-A. Make Israel great again. That's not America first. That's not MAGA. That's not what we voted for in 2024. And the idea that we can have this panel switch up completely in 2 years on everything Trump ran on, you can look at no better example of that than Tucker Carlson. Of course, Tucker Carlson, amazing guy, patriot, best friend of Trump for many years, basically, I think that's admitted at this point, had a very public breakup with Trump. And Trump not only broke up with him, but all of us, you know, that have been supporters throughout the years and said that we were not real MAGA, that we didn't represent MAGA, that MAGA was what he said it was and not what we said it was, ladies and gentlemen. Is that the truth? Hold on. He's back. Hold on. He's coming back in. Heart palpitation.
I want to be clear, because about 30% of Trump's support is still there. And they're the fix your collars. They're really good. And they're the boomers. Not all of them are bad. But I broke up with Trump about a year ago and said I still support him overall, but didn't think he was pure, you know, as pure as he was before. All analysts agree he really changed about 14, 15 months ago when the Epstein stuff came out. Whatever he learned was in there about his, quote, friends and people. And he said, I think it'll kill the economy. Later he admitted that. The stock market, so did Bondi. The point is that when he called us retarded and low IQ and all that, we'd already broke up with him. So I was never MAGA. I'm great for Make America Great Again. I want to make it free.
Right.
I'm always 70, 76. We built the platform he launched on. So it's not like we're kicked out of the cool kid table. All the hardcore Trump supporters now are at the Epstein table.
Yes.
We left the Epstein table. We left MAGA. We divorced Trump.
I mean, Dad, the first report I did, stay with me for a while. The first report I ever did was on Terrorism 101. It was how government.
We got lob mics in the future. I didn't tell the crew this. It was my fault. When I come in here, we need a little side chair. I got a little lob mic or something. But anyways.
When I was a little boy, you taught me that the government does horrible things because they're able to get away with it, right? And we supported Trump because we thought he was going to be that wrecking ball of the system and wasn't going to let him get away with it.
And he was to a great extent.
Oh, but not anymore. Not anymore. He's letting him do genocide, man. He's letting him do war crimes. He's letting him take us to war.
We barely got money to operate. We want to expand, hire more hosts.
Yes.
And get reporters and stuff. So support us, thealexshowstore.com. We got the new highest rated water filters, best stainless steel. The filters are the best. All the best supplements. We can't do this without you. We will be true. We won't back down. So you want to stand up against the tyrant, support us, thealexshowstore.com. And tomorrow, I'm live noon to 3 p.m. And Rex, if you want to come in for an hour in the podcast studio, we'll do the third hour. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
2 to 3 p.m. Out of the larger studio downstairs. So come on, we'll talk about this tomorrow at 2 p.m. I'll be live at noon at alexjoneslive.com and on X and on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow Live. Those are the coordinates. Finish up, Rex.
Thank you.
Thanks for your support, folks.
100%. Thank you to the viewers and listeners at home. You are the guys that are responsible, the men and women in the arena supporting us, letting us do
and
this.
By the
podcast.
Way, a lot of people got mad at me, and I got it. I would say, listen, I know he's not perfect. He's starting to change course. He was still better than them.
We're done with the shaming. We're done being shamed.
But then it got so bad. You know, we're trying to get a reversal here, but you know.
Here's the thing. Stay with me until we close. Joe Kent says, declare victory and go home. You got to get him on the main show so even more people can see. That's like immediately things would reverse, right?
Well, I mean, Joe comes on your show and stuff because he knows it becomes a big a lightning rod becomes on my show, which is fine.
Sure.
Anyways, bottom line, we love Joe Kim. We love everybody that's a patriot. And we're on the right side of history, so we have our consciences. That's what matters.
Absolutely.
Again, I don't want to get on a big jag with Gavin. Let's have him on soon.
Sure.
Give him a response to respond.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's just you're being a neocon, right? And we were taught there was a whole referendum 2016. People voted against the neocons.
Well,
they voted for Trump.
Neocon when you're saying Epstein wasn't a pedophile.
Yeah, it's crazy as hell. It's inexcusable, and we got to have a conversation about it. It doesn't make sense.
It's pedo apology.
Yeah, it's pedo apology. It's Epstein apologetics. I mean, they do Christian apologetics, Muslim apologetics, Mormon apologetics, people that'll defend their religion. That's what they call it, apologetics. People are out there doing Epstein apologetics right now. Think about how crazy that is. And I just laid out all the reasons why it's insane, folks. That's why you need to clip this up, share it with your friends and family, get them awake, get them informed. There's a whole class of people right now that want you distracted on the war, that want you distracted on the economy, want you distracted on all of it. This all goes back to the morality of the country. If we are the land of the free and the home of the brave, we do not allow these things to happen to little children. Okay, so if we allow these things to happen to little children, then we're not the land of the free and the home of the brave anymore, are we? You know, we're the land of the sheep and the home of the slave. And that's true now. It's very sad and very regrettable. But just like anything, you can pull yourself out of it. You know, it's time for us as a collective, us as a country, to put on our boots and to get to work. And that means talking to everybody you know about everything you heard today and sharing the feed with them. And that also means going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting all the phenomenal products. Methylene Blue is amazing, has an over 80% reorder rate, which is unheard of. We've got the Life Force, we've got the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Those are the supplements that I formulated, designed with Bigly to take in conjunction with Methylene Blue, the absolute premium. Power Plant and Methyl Drive Power Plant formula has cordyceps mushroom, golden root, not valerian root, excuse me, golden root, boron, magnesium, and much more to improve testosterone and improve mitochondrial function. Methyl Drive has the CoQ10 and the PQQ, which are so incredible for that same mitochondrial health. And I want to explain to people, just in the 2 minutes we have left, what a supplement is. So there's one category and there's another category. First category, vitamin, mineral, something you already need, not getting enough in your diet. Second category is like an adaptogenic herb, a botanical, something with a real mechanism of action. What AJN has done, what the new network has done, what Bigly has done is given you products that fuse those two parts of the supplement world. Like with Power Plant, you got the minerals that you need, you're probably not getting. You got the boron, you got the zinc, you got the selenium, but you've also got the adaptogens with that function or mechanism of action. So they're actually able to do something inside of your body that has a promoting a positive effect. Like cordyceps, for an example, increases ATP, that means more mitochondrial energy for you, and increases VO2 max and oxygen carrying capacity. I can make that claim because the studies have been done and it's true. The same with the golden root. The golden root works on your brain. It's a nootropic. It boosts dopamine, norepinephrine. It's going to make working out feel better, and the cordyceps lets you work out harder. You got the minerals in there for testosterone and free testosterone. Boron supplementation has been shown to increase testosterone up to 38%. Not just testosterone, free testosterone, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're a lady, you want that for your gentleman. I want you to go get the Methyl Drive and Power Plant bundle from thealexjonesstore.com alongside your Methylene Blue. We've got all that and more, the great apparel, the great t-shirts, great hats, great everything. I also want to let people know Gray Area Talks on YouTube and Rumble and New American Journal on Rumble and X specifically, and across all platforms, those are the names, Gray Area Talks, and then you've got New American Journal. New American Journal is a show that I do 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single weekday. And then Gray Area Talks, the marquee evening show, that's a show I do 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Thursday and Sunday night. You want to be there. I want to be there with you. Thank you for letting me connect with you today. Amazing guests, amazing show, more of it. Stay tuned. I'll be back tomorrow.
Folks, Doc Bigly here, and today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.